This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get to the Red Sox replacing Tristan Cassis in just a moment. But as we told you, Keefe's Keys come your way at 1 o'clock. The keys to the Celtics and Knicks series, game one tonight. A few texts rolling in on that, Keefe. Number one, guys, when I heard the keys, I got a shot of dopamine through my brain.
Oh, yeah. Get excited.
You got, where are your big
keys? Are back. Oh, they're on ice.
So they're down. Yeah, you got to hold them up.
They're getting ready.
The key fobs don't quite jingle the same way.
No, the fob sticks. I got a whole set of keys ready to go.
I like this text, too. Good Lord, I'm a grown married man to a wife.
Brag. Sick brag, bro.
Who just got really excited to hear keys jingle.
Yeah.
So the people are ready for 1 o'clock
keys? They should be ready.
1 o'clock keys?
Yeah, 1 o'clock keys.
1 o'clock keys. Good.
Absence does, in fact, make the heart grow fonder. Because we haven't done keys probably since the week 18.
Yeah, some would say too long. Some might say the proper amount of time.
Maybe too long. Did we forget to do them before the Magic series? Maybe we did.
Maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. Who would ever know?
Whole keys to Magic? It would have been incredible.
Oh my gosh, that could have been.
I'd like to have that
one
back.
We had a keys to the Rumble, but not
just
keys
David,
to the
David Blaine facts.
We did do a Rumble keys, I think.
Yeah, I think there was, was it Rumble?
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did we forget to? Did we not?
That's right.
Who would even know?
Don't
worry. Would even know if we forgot to do keys to that?
Knicks keys. Keys to the Knicks.
So mark that down. It'll be appointment listening, no doubt. We'll get back to the Patriots later on this hour. Have they gone too far leaning in on player character? More reporting over the weekend on Joe Milton and why the Patriots moved on, plus the reason they drafted Kyle Williams in the third round. We'll get to that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. On Cassis, just quickly, just a gruesome, brutal injury.
Yeah.
And it was such a nothing routine play that you see a million times in a baseball game, and next thing you know, he's getting carted off. And I think effectively, his career in Boston is done. His career might be done. But specifically in Boston, they're going to have to make a significant decision to replace him. And I don't know that he ever really gets an opportunity to get back in. Now, maybe he was trending that way anyway, Keefe. He wasn't having a good year. He didn't have a good season last year. He was injury prone then. Even the year where he played well 2 years ago, as you pointed out, it was really just a couple of months late in that year after struggling for most of the year prior to that. So maybe he's trending that way anyway. But the Red Sox now have to do something drastic. What that is, we can debate. But they now have to do something drastic to replace Tristan Cassis long term. And I think effectively he's done with the Red Sox. It doesn't mean he'll never play another game in a Red Sox uniform.
Right.
But they're not viewing him anymore as the answer at first base. They're not.
Yeah, no, it's the idea of Tristan Cassis is so much better than the actual Tristan Cassis. And unfortunately for him, it's been two injuries that have really just sidelined him and like interrupted his career. He had like a cup of coffee going back 4 years ago. Then his full rookie year, he got off to such a slow start. But they did stick with him, and he finished the second half of the year pretty strong. Last year, we know the rib injury just affected the entire year. He played a third of the season, and then this year he's been terrible. Like, he's been awful. We've been talking about a Cassis replacement and had nothing to do with injury for a while. Like, that's not a good sign. We're like, who could play first? I mean, everybody had their own idea for who could play first based on just how much he was struggling at the plate. He started the year as their cleanup hitter. Then he moved down to sixth, moved down to seventh.
Like, almost immediately, he was dropped to sixth. He was getting days off against lefties.
Days off against lefties. He's getting pinch hit four.
Yep, yep.
You're like, this guy is not an everyday player. A far cry from what Craig Breslow said, 40 home runs, 120 RBI. But it felt like out of all the guys on their team, particularly the young guys, he was the one that had like 1 foot out the door. And maybe it had to do with they went to him a couple of times for a contract extension and he said no. I don't fault him for it. I'm just saying that's the facts. Like, they went to him.
No,
didn't happen.
I don't fault him for it either, but
he might be kicking himself.
You bring that up. Text line brought it up earlier when we talked about it. They're bringing it up again. I bet Cassis wishes he signed the long-term deal now. Like, but yeah, that is why guys rush to get their deal. We piled on Christian Campbell for doing it. Why would you do it? Why not bet on yourself? I mean, this is an example of why you take the money when it's there.
But there was also so much smoke around Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and then he signs the – if he had not signed his $500 million contract – I think everybody would be like, all right, it's a done deal. Like, they're definitely getting him. That does throw a little wrinkle into this. Like, I don't know what their replacement plan is going to be for Casas, but they have all of this season to kind of figure it out. They got to get somebody in there to at least play those games now, and it can't be, you know, Romy Gonzalez.
No, and the fact that they're going to start experimenting with something, I don't think it's going to be Romy Gonzalez, Abraham Toro, that combo for the rest of the year. You know, they might do that short term, but I don't think that's the answer. The fact they're going to have to start experimenting is part of why I think he's effectively done with the Red Sox. You can jump in on this. How do you replace Tristan Casas? We'll give you our thoughts on it at 617-779-7937. You can jump in as well. Let me play you a couple of clips from Craig Breslow over the weekend. We'll give you our thoughts on the backside. Breslow was asked about the idea of Rafi Devers moving to first base. Here's what he had to say.
Would you have Devers take ground balls at first base?
I think we're still trying to figure out what the long-term solution looks like. You know, at this point, still pretty focused on just making sure that Tristan is getting everything that he needs and we're taking care of him.
Okay, so I hear that as the door's open. Maybe you hear differently. Cora came out shortly after Breslow. So the order of this is important. Breslow spoke first, then Cora spoke. And Cora said, from my end, same question, from my end right now, no, on the idea of moving Devers to first. We asked him to do something in spring training, and in the beginning, he didn't agree with it, and now he's very comfortable doing what he's doing at DH. So like I told you guys in spring training, he's the DH. So Cora disagrees with Breslow on that. Breslow was also asked about the idea that's been popular, Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer at first base. Here's what he had to say about moving either of them to the spot.
Would you ever experiment with Roman or Marcelo at first?
It doesn't seem like that's in the plans right now. I think both of those guys obviously are you know, showing the ability to impact both sides of the ball. But given, I think, the bright futures that they have ahead of them at their respective positions, introducing additional variables doesn't make a ton of sense right now.
Okay, so that's an annoying way to say no.
You're a robot person.
You don't want to introduce extra variables.
Beep, boop, beep.
So that's an annoying way to say it.
You know what's funny, though?
He closes the door to me on Anthony and Meyer. He left it open on Devers, Breslow.
But he did start with a right now.
Yep, true.
As Cora did with Devers, like right now. So they are, I guess, leaving that door open. I just find it somewhat perplexing. Less so for Cora, because you're the manager and you're sort of dealing with whatever you're dealing with on a daily basis. If you're Craig Breslow, and shouldn't you be prepared for if any player on your team goes down for the season, particularly one who barely played the season a year ago? Like, that should be...
That you had no answer for after he went down last season.
You had no pivot plan.
So you already were faced this last year, and you threw a bunch of different guys at the position, and it never worked out.
My guess is they did, and their backup plan doesn't want to do it. If you're asking
me... Well, then you need another one.
Because we talked about this in spring training. Or you got to force the guy to do it. It's really not up to Rafi Devers.
But, like,
it's
when
really
the but when the season started and you break camp, don't you have to look around the diamond and be like, all right, God forbid, if Bregman goes down for the year, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And, like, have a plan.
What would you do for that, just out of curiosity?
Marcelo Meyer. We'll play third base.
So you wouldn't put Devers at third in that scenario?
No, I'm done with Devers in the field. Okay. I was done with him years ago. They finally came around to that. Get your bat. Get your batting gloves. That's all we need.
I understand it more at third, but I would like to think that Devers would be in play at third.
Yeah.
If Bregman were to go down.
I would say Meyer.
He should have been taking ground balls at first just to see if he hasn't even been taking ground balls there for all we know. So you have no idea if he can do it, and they should have made him at least work on, hey, take some grounders at first. Get comfortable over there on the off chance somebody gets hurt, or the way Casas was going for months, going back to spring training.
Yeah.
For months, if he's not going to hit, we might need a pivot plan. My guess is Devers is the pivot plan, and he's being a baby about it, stamping his feet.
One of the reasons why they were going to be so patient with Casas is because they don't know what they're really doing.
Fair.
Or maybe it's the Devers thing and they just won't do it, but they don't really know what they're doing. I also find it odd that Breslow, when asked about Anthony and Meyer specifically, said, you know, we don't want to throw another variable in there. But basically, like, we want them to play their position.
Yep.
What position is Campbell playing? Is he playing one position? What position is Marcelo Meyer playing in the minors? He's playing three. He even told us. He's like, I play short most of the time. Then I play third. I play second.
Yeah, I think the plan for him, at least going into the year, was 4 days at short, one day at second, 1 day at third.
You had Saint Raffaello last year as a rookie play shortstop at center field, ping pong back and forth, sometimes in the same game. And you didn't do that with him.
Duran's older, but even Duran, they
Duran
move from
plays two
left
spots
center,
every
yeah.
all the time. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of guys that are playing multiple spots. Some are better at it than others. But it seems weird that, like, oh, my God, no way he's going to play first base. He will play second, third, and short, though. Like, okay. I don't get it.
No, that's fair. I wouldn't move Meyer there just because I don't think that's long-term where he's going
to
play.
And I don't think you need to, because I think my plan would just be slide Campbell over to first, and then Meyer's playing second, a position he's a little bit more familiar with.
Right. So your plan really is two-pronged. It's not just getting Campbell at first, because, let's face it, he's not great defensively at second yet. Maybe he will be. Like, maybe he'll figure it out there. I have no idea. But he's not great at second yet. He doesn't look comfortable in the outfield either. He certainly wasn't comfortable in left field. They took that away almost immediately. They played him in center here and there. So, to me, that makes sense. He doesn't have a defined position where he excels. Put him at first. You've said it before. He's 6'3". And maybe the more important part to your plan, Keith, is it would get Marcelo Meyer up to the big leagues.
Yeah, because I think this is an opportunity to kind of spark the team. They're 18-18. They just blew all these games late. So I think if you take the Casas injury, and on the surface, like, oh, like what a tough blow for the team, but he's not hitting at all. Like, the guy, you were thinking about maybe replacing him anyway. So you could bring up one of these young guys, and maybe your lineup actually gets better. Right, that no, not to pile on a guy who's out for the year, but it's like you could actually improve your team right now with this move. You get some fresh blood into the group, and maybe that helps turn things around a little bit. I think the idea of just starting Romy Gonzalez for all these games or Abraham Toro until what? Till you figure something out? Well, like, that is not a good plan.
So to me, I also love the aspect of getting one of those guys up here. And there's a larger discussion about why they're not up. Why aren't Meyer and Anthony here yet? Is that purely a development thing? Are they blocked? Because they don't feel blocked anymore with this Casas injury. Or is ownership stepping in? It's manipulating service time, cost-controlled players. Campbell's on the big club because he would play ball on a contract. Meyer and Anthony are not because they wouldn't. So I think that's a whole separate discussion you can jump in on. But my personal plan would be Devers at first. You want to win games, get Devers at first. That's the best way to be competitive. And you open up the DH spot. I'd put Anthony there. He can play some outfield as well. In the meantime, you know, you can ease him in there. Maybe you can get other guys a blow at the DH spot as well, whether that's Abreu, Duran. I wouldn't necessarily put Raffaello there, but you can continue to move him around. There's other ways to get those guys onto the field. And to me, that'd be the best way to do it. Devers at first. But it doesn't feel like they're going to do that. It doesn't feel like Cora's on board with that. Maybe because he's the nice cop to Breslow's bad cop.
Maybe.
Which I guess is funny to think about Breslow as a bad cop.
Oh, yeah, he's real bad.
But, you know, Cora's being nice to Devers because he knows Devers doesn't want to do it, and he's the conduit in the middle where he has to kind of be the go-between. Look, Devers didn't want a DH. They ultimately coerced him into being the DH. Can they do the same thing and coerce him into taking ground balls and playing at first base? Because it's the best thing for the team, they should.
Yeah.
So, but to me,
well, if that's the best thing, I get your point. Like, he's a selfish player. Like, he should play where the team needs him to. But it might not be the best.
No, he might be a butcher at first, for all we know. Yeah. But they, to my knowledge, they haven't tried. So they should try that. And that's what I would do. But either way, our plan, whether it's Campbell at first, Devers at first, whomever, you're getting Meyer up to the big leagues. I'm getting Anthony up to the big leagues. And I do feel like the team at 18-18. Underachieving.
Needs it.
Against, as we pointed out last week, an easy schedule.
Baseball, scrubby team.
Baseball Reference said they had the easiest schedule in the month of April. They dropped three of their seven games against the White Sox. They were 2-5 against Toronto. They just dropped 2 out of 3 against the Twins. Mm-hmm. So they're losing to bad teams, and they're blowing games against bad teams. If nothing else, this team needs to get Anthony or Meyer, or both, if you really want to go nuts. Get them both up here because the team needs an injection of energy, a shot in the arm, something different after the first month because it's not working.
Definitely. We've gotten a bunch of texts about Masataka Yoshida. Could he play first base? We actually brought this up a couple weeks ago, and then we looked into it. He's like 5'7".
Teeny, tiny
little
target
dude.
Over
he'd
there.
Be,
yeah.
He'd be one of the smallest first basemen ever. But is there a scenario to get
You actually were stumping for it, and then you almost immediately backed away.
And then people were like,
did you guys see the video of him trying to throw the ball yesterday?
Yes.
It was bad.
Well, first base, you don't really need to do a lot of throwing, but I get the point. Yeah. Could he get it the second?
Can he run it?
I don't even know if he could underhand it to the pitcher.
Look like me throwing a vortex.
All right.
What it looked like.
All right. Maybe not. Maybe Yoshida's out.
I guess the more reasons not to do it.
But this would be.
Would you play Devers at first to get Yoshida in at DH?
No, I because then this way, doing that, then you still don't have Meyer or Anthony.
Right, I've blown past the Yoshida plan. I want Anthony at DH and getting some days in the outfield personally.
Gotcha.
But you guys can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Is this Bobbert in Southie? Robert?
Bobbert.
This is Bobbert.
Hey, what up,
how's it going?
What's up, Bobbert in Southie?
Hey,
what's up, Bobbert?
It's going great.
Hey, so, I'm just calling because
Oh, no.
First base. Oh. And then I want to see Masataka Yoshida in the DH spot. I think he's a great hitter, and he can inject that spark that the Sox need. I would love to see how he shakes out in the lineup, you know, with the other guys like Bregman they brought in.
Okay. Good hearing from Bobbert.
He kind of broke up Bobbert. I think he was agreeing with you, though. Devers
that would first, open up Yoshida DH. Yes.
Yeah, but then you don't have Meyer in there.
No.
Or you don't have Robin Anthony. So I think I would respectfully disagree with Bobbert.
I can't tell if this is sarcastic or not. Grateful AF in the Twitch chat says, who goes down, Jones? Romy, Sadon, or someone else? My answer would be, who cares?
I don't think Sadon.
But maybe that's the point they're making.
Maybe Abraham Toro?
Yeah, I would send down.
Just had to clear a spot for him.
That's
on
where
the
I would
40.
Start. Maybe that was just sarcasm, Toro. pointing out why those guys are still in AAA. Missing the sarcasm font there. But yeah, I think there's plenty of options to move on from. So that was Bobbert. Not to be confused with Lauren Boebert.
Oh, Lauren Boebert.
That's who I was hoping we were going to hear from.
Is that right? How come?
I would go to Thunderbolts with her is what I would do. I haven't seen that.
That'd be like a giveaway. Thunderbolts with Lauren Boebert.
I haven't seen any of these Marvel movies, but going to a movie with her seems like a good time. So I could maybe do some of that.
I saw a video on Twitter months ago. She was kind of sidling up to Kid Rock.
Oh, was
so
she?
I don't know. Yeah, she was.
Nice. Oh, she sidles. I've seen videos of her sidling, too.
So I don't know what
pretty
she
nice.
Was. Yeah,
a lot of sidling going on in that movie, too.
Sick brag, bro.
But I don't know what she was up to.
Standing invite to go see Thunderbolts.
Okay.
My name is Brad. Yeah.
That is what she was doing in the video.
She very on the nose.
Yeah, it's very
maybe that's how like, I got the idea for it.
Too on the nose. Yeah. But Bobbert, that's a new caller to the show.
Right.
Welcome. I'm not itching to get Yoshida in. The only reason, if you want to tell me you're doing this short term, is get Yoshida on the field to DH him just for a little value to try to trade him to somebody, anybody. And then that's a means to an end where a month from now, you're getting Anthony or Meyer up. Maybe I would listen to that, but then what? You're peeing away another month in the meantime where you're 500 and underachieving? I would get Anthony or Meyer up here now.
I just think it really speaks to how surprisingly unprepared they are for this. Mm. It's not a guy that's like an Iron Man. It's not like all of a sudden Cal Ripken went down and you're
it
like,
should
shoot.
Not have snuck up on you to your
like
point.
The most obvious guy that you probably need a plan to replace is Casas, and he's the guy that you are the least prepared to replace. Because, like, let's say they went with Bregman at second, Devers at third, like Devers probably wanted at the beginning of camp, mm-hmm. and what Casas, ironically, wanted to start. Let's say Casas still goes down. Then, like, what do you do? They don't know. Like, they're scrambling around. All they're doing right now is telling you a bunch of guys that won't play first.
Oh, that's a good
it's
point.
Like, well, who will play first?
Right. They have a lot of no's. Do they have any no. answers to who
they're,
will
well,
be
Romy
out there?
Can. It's like, that's not even Romy's position. He's playing out of position.
So, yeah, outside of Story, Casas really was probably the easiest guy to forecast needing to replace at some point.
Story, Casas, I would have been like, we need a and Giolito. I would have been like, we need somebody to replace these guys.
But Story, they have a clear plan. It's Meyer.
Yeah, right. What's David Hamilton. You see him catch that ball yesterday?
Good player. So you can jump in on this. How do you replace Tristan Casas? Is he done in Boston? It certainly seems that way. And how do you get the team back on track? How badly do they need Anthony and Meyer up here? Is this opportunity to get one, an opportunity to get one or both up to the big league? 617-779-7937. We'll get into the Red Sox and how they've underachieved to this point. The biggest reasons why right after
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With Billy Laney.
Rough weekend for the Red Sox. Dropped 2 out of 3 against the Twins. Seems like some necessary changes are in order. One won't even be by choice. You now have to replace Tristan Casas. It's not a hypothetical, a theoretical anymore. He's out at least for the year. We wondered if his Red Sox career is effectively over after this injury. So it's time to replace him. How do you do it? Keith wants Campbell at first base. Call up Marcelo Meyer. I want Devers at first base. Call up Roman Anthony. One text here, Keith, at 617-779-7937 kind of marries those two together.
Okay.
The plan is easy. Campbell to first, Meyer to second, Anthony to left, Duran to center, rotate Sadam between the outfield spots and second base when playing against lefties, etc.
Sold.
So, I mean, if you're telling me both can come up,
sold.
I think I'd get on that plan. Because I do think beyond just replacing Casas, this whole team needs something different. You touched on this earlier. The bullpen's had a rough stretch.
Brutal.
And some of that, I think, is on Cora. I mean, Cora is sticking with Whitlock for 2 innings over and over and over again. He's pitching to Vlad Guerrero with first base open. You know, he keeps going back to the same guys who maybe for a while were getting it done. They're in a rough patch now.
Yeah.
Namely Slayton, but Whitlock as well. The overall bullpen has not been great. 4.11 ERA. It's one of the things we identified in spring training. I thought it was more about closer. Chapman's actually been great. But the bullpen's been underwhelming. So it's not just about the arms there. I think Cora's had some mistakes.
Yeah.
But you brought this up earlier. The reason that a lot of the games are falling on the bullpen is because the Red Sox are scoring early, jumping out to leads, and then the offense does nothing.
No, they're not helping the bullpen out at all. Although I still put these losses on the bullpen. I mean, Justin Slayton has taken 3 losses out of the last, what, 5 games. They're 1-4 in their last 5, and he himself has taken the loss in 3 of those games. It's pretty remarkable to do. And they found a way to blow Lucas Giolito's game, Tanner Houck's best performance, certainly not Garrett Crochet's best performance, which we'll get to, but he at least left with the lead after 5 innings, and they lost all those games. So, yeah, you would love more insurance runs, and it's frustrating that the Red Sox, which as a team, I feel like used to really dominate other teams' relievers, right? Like they were better at that than they were their own
starters. And then, yeah, that's usually what you want from a team.
But they haven't gone that way recently. And, the bullpen, which started out the year as sort of a bright spot, almost a strength of the team. And that was even like without Liam Hendricks, because you're like, is he going to be a part of it during the spring? And he wasn't. And then you saw these other guys like, that's actually pretty good. So if they, hand them the ball with a lead, you felt confident. And now that is completely flipped.
Yeah, so again, some of that's on Cora. Like, yeah. You gotta, and I don't know how much he's been given, but I also wouldn't give Cora too much leeway there. If Cora wants to complain about the bullpen, like off the record,
right?
Guys, I mean, what do I really have to work with out there?
It's not bad.
I would give him some leeway on that and say, yeah, what do you really have to work with? But I've heard this now for a couple of years running with Cora. Oh, we have young players. Oh, we have guys who aren't really big leaguers, like Pablo Reyes. And he made it work, and he would get a lot of credit for that. He's, you know, getting more out of the roster than the sum total of the parts, and he would get a lot of credit for that. That's the idea with Cora. Now he's been given Bregman and Crochet and even Christian Campbell, and you still want to turn around and now point blame at, like, the bullpen or whatever if you wanted to do that? Like, yep. Cora just got handed a big, giant, fat extension. I don't think he's going anywhere, Keith, but I am looking at him for the team's underachievement. On some level, that's on the manager. Why are you pitching to Vlad? Why are you sticking with Giolito into a sixth inning? Why do you keep going back to Slayton? Why are you sticking with Whitlock for multiple innings? Like, at some point, the manager has to push the right buttons. We give him credit when he pushes the right ones. At some point, when you're pushing the wrong ones, we got to call it out. So I don't think he's in any jeopardy of losing his job. I don't think it's a hot seat issue, but I do look at him for their underachievement at 18-18 and go, he's right in the middle of it. He's a big factor in
it. Do you know what their record is in one-run games?
I don't know the record. I believe they've blown the most one-run games in baseball, 8 or 9, but I don't know what their record is.
They're 4-9.
Yeah, so 9 is the answer. Yeah.
Right, so, and, you know, you're a .500 team. You know, that swings the other way. That's pretty dramatically different. He had that answer last week, which I didn't love, about, you know, pitching to Vlad Guerrero. It basically boils down to, like, well...
No, this came out after our show. You're right.
After our show, he's like, well, you know, basically, if the game mattered, I would have walked him.
If it was the ALCS.
ALCS.
Yeah, just say you screwed it up.
You
that's
screwed
all.
That one up.
Don't say, oh, we're just trying... I forget.
Trust our pitchers or whatever.
That's exactly what it
pitchers,
was. Oh, it's, like, it's early in the year. I'm just trying to put trust in my pitchers where... No.
It's Vlad Guerrero. It's not like you're walking some scrub. Like, you're walking Vlad Guerrero. You still have to get Santander out.
So why do you think he answered it that way?
To find a way to... deflect all blame.
See, that's what I think. I think he's just shirking blame. Deflecting blame is a good word for it. And yeah, I just think right now maybe you're feeling it a little bit. He knows he's not managing great, so he doesn't want to put any more on his plate, or any more blame on himself, rather. So I thought that was a dissatisfactory answer as well.
Yeah. No, they need to be a lot better, because Cora's been here with one of the best teams in Red Sox history, and they ran all the way to a World Series title. He's been with some not-so-good teams, and they've come in last place. You know, he had the one kind of surprise year in 2021 where they did get to the ALCS.
Yep.
But then you've had a bunch of games where, I'll give him all the excuses in the world, you didn't have a great roster, but you were in it at the trade deadline, and then you just fell apart afterwards. So, like, is he a great manager, or, like, how much credit does he deserve if this team does well? Right now, you do have the expectations. This is a team that everyone thinks should be a playoff team. And yet you've got them playing .500 baseball into May.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm not firing him. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. But I would put a lot of blame on the 18-18 start on the manager. So you can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. On Crochet, you mentioned this earlier, Keith.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you want to talk about a real dodge bullet? As unfortunate as the Cassis injury was, I mean, Crochet is lucky. He didn't take a liner right off the face yesterday. Barely grazed his nose. I'm not sure I've ever seen that, where a comebacker, or a line drive, rather, comes back, just grazes his nose enough on the way by where it left a little mark. There's a little bit of blood. They had a tissue jammed up there, a little bit of blood, but, like, largely unscathed.
It's crazy.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about, like, a real close shave, a real dodge bullet. The Red Sox had that yesterday with Crochet, because imagine if you lose him, like, the way he's been going this year. Imagine if that were the case. The thing to keep an eye on with Crochet coming out of that start, he was asked about it after the game. He seemed more concerned than Cora. Cora really brushed it aside. Is the diminished velocity for Crochet. You know, Crochet kind of explained it away as, I'm working on stuff in between starts. Cora said outright he's not concerned about it at all. I would keep an eye on the diminished velocity, because you wonder if it's related in any way to increased workload. He worked more innings last year than he ever had in his big league career. There has been starts and outings so far in April where he threw more pitches and worked deeper into games than he ever has in his big league career, and you wonder if there's a trade-off with the velocity there. Maybe it's just a hiccup, but that to me is something worth watching, because there's really no margin for error with Crochet at the top of the rotation. He's been the one guy going for you all year.
Yeah, and it's one of those weird things where his overall numbers are still really good. Like, he has a 2.02 ERA, but he's made 8 starts this year, and I think half the time we've been like, I didn't have his best stuff.
Right.
It's like, well, how often is he going to have his best
the
stuff?
The numbers look good, but he hasn't been as dominant as maybe we expected.
Like
right?
The season opener, we were like, all right, five innings, he'll take it.
Fine.
They won the game for him because going back to that one, the bullpen was really good and Willier Abreu was all of the offense, but he wasn't great. Then he had an awesome start against Baltimore.
Yeah, that was probably his best start, right?
That one might have been. Yeah, that one might have been his best start. It was the deepest start. He went eight innings, eight strikeouts, 102 pitches. His start after that, he got let down by the defense, so he allowed four runs, but only one was earned.
Oh, actually, I take it back. His best start was the near no-hitter against the White Sox.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fake team, but still.
Fake team, yeah. But real stats.
Yeah.
And but he walked four in that third start against Toronto. So now it's 2 out of 3. We're like, not his best thing. And then he had two straight starts against the White Sox. So
pretty dominant.
We got to count him.
Yeah.
We got to count him, but it's a horrible team. Also, he's got a little bit of revenge factor too. So it's like, good luck to the White Sox in those two. But then the Seattle day game, he was his worst start of the year.
Yeah, and we were putting that on us.
And then this last one. So I think it's legit half the starts and two of his four good starts were against the White Sox.
So yeah, I just wonder if that's worth keeping an eye on because
well, his velocity is absolutely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and what's he at right now? Through I just had the numbers up.
What pitches?
Is he at 49 innings? Is that what he's at?
Yep, 49.
49 innings through eight starts. So you know you're talking about on pace for about 200 innings if he keeps that up. So let's see where that finishes. But that's something you have to watch with him. He's never had that workload. Mm-hmm. You know, he's never. He started a bunch of games last year, but he didn't work deep into games in the second half. So keep an eye on that going forward with Crochet. It doesn't mean it's not going to work, but keep an eye on that. Real quick, side note, Keith. There's potentially some Red Sox City Connect uniforms that have that have leaked out.
I'm listening.
We kind of fancy ourselves uniform specialists, uniform experts on this show.
I would agree with that.
Some would even call us maybe Uniform Fashion Police, something like
think,
that.
Oh, yeah, Fashion Police.
We had a whole bracket on the thing.
We did.
An actual started and completed bracket here in March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
So these leaked uniforms, Boston Sports Gordo, one of the playtesty guys, tweeted this out earlier today. I retweeted it. It is, I like the blue and yellow ones. I know not everybody loves those.
I don't love those ones. They wore those too much too, which was part of the problem, the marathon ones.
But they have grown on me over the years. I like those a lot.
All right.
How would you describe these? These are like the monster, basically,
green
like the scoreboard.
Green monster jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Herb has them up on Twitch.
And then the number on the front as well, as well as the swoosh is yellow, kind of
like
the foul pole.
Nice.
And then it says Red Sox in white. And then the number on the back, it looks like it is in white. And it looks like it's got sort of like a marker where it looked like what would be on the monster, like sort of the, how to put the numbers in on the scoreboard.
Real nice.
I actually love it. I love it quite a bit, and I kind of want one.
So I don't know if these are the real City Connects. These have kind of been leaked out there on the internet, but if they are, that's a sharp-looking jersey. You can check them out.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Again, Boston Sports Gordo has it on Twitter. I retweeted it. @JonesWEEI, @Keefe21.
Check those
out. That's a nice-looking uniform. Twitch chat hates it.
They don't like it.
Twitch chat hates it.
Okay, listen, you can't agree on everything.
Not a fan. That's the picture of ugly.
What?
Gross.
Oh, people don't like change, and I respect that.
Yeah, you typically don't like change. I typically don't like change.
But I like green.
Look, when I see a good-looking uniform, I gotta tip my cap is what I
mean. And when they wear the Wally head, it's going to look fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Pop the Wally head
is going to be. That's going
to
be
batting helmet at this
point. Sight to behold. Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, a Wally head batting helmet. Can they do that?
Yeah, get those.
Turn this into the Savannah Bananas.
Get those on a uniform. Yeah. I've seen snots that look better than those uniforms. Okay, they're not popular with everybody. Maybe that's why the Red Sox are leaking them out. It's kind of a test case situation, a trial balloon, if you will, going on. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. You're on Jones and Keith. How do the Red Sox replace Tristan Casas? What's wrong with the Red Sox in their 18-18 start? How much of it is on the manager, Alex Cora? And when we come back, have the Patriots gone too far in their balance of talent with character? I'll give you two examples, Joe Milton and Kyle Williams, coming up next.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm, I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Giardi on WEEI Afternoons last week. He works at the Boston Sports Journal. His boss is Greg Bedard. Bedard calls Joe Milton a bad dude.
Bad guy.
Bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
And Giardi says, well, yeah, I think I've heard he's a little immature.
Yeah, or immature, depending on how you say it.
That feels like a drastically different report from the same publication, no?
It does. Now, it doesn't mean everybody that works at the same place views things the same way.
No, I think we've learned that here at WEEI. Yeah, that's true.
I think that might be the case.
But just, that's... That's a but big, also, is that not a big difference?
It's a big difference, but
bad
also...
Bad dude or immature?
But bad dude was backed up with what?
Nothing.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't know his role, basically. No, but it went from, like, bad dude. That's a great headline. Like, holy smokes, it's a bad dude. That must be why he traded him. Why is he a bad dude? Well, he kind of thought he could play.
Right.
Like, okay, and?
Yeah, right.
Well, no, he thought maybe he could play football. Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
So I never really understood that he's the bad guy, bad teammate, any of that stuff. Didn't seem like that was the case. And you always have to raise an eyebrow when the first bad thing you heard about a player or coach or manager is the day they leave.
It's a little suspect.
It's a bit suspect. Yeah, like you left. Oh, you know, well, now we can tell you the truth about this guy. Oh, yeah, you were protecting Joe Milton all year. You couldn't tell us a single bad thing about Joe Milton all year. And now he's a little immature. All right, so a young guy might be a little immature. So you got to get rid of him because of that.
Well, just like, which is it? Is he a little immature or is he a bad guy? That's That to me is a big difference.
Yeah,
and
it is.
So and interesting answer from Giardi on Friday, yeah.
I would say so. I mean, in neither one on the surface to me, wanting to play more or maybe being a little immature when you're like, it's one thing if you're immature and your coaches are like Gerard Mayo, who are not prepared for it at all and probably aren't the best to kind of coach you out of that. If you have... somebody like Josh McDaniels, who's been in the league for 100 years, and Mike Vrabel's been in the league for 100 years, wouldn't those guys be able to take maybe an immature player and like get the most out of him?
One would think.
Guess not.
One would think. So, look, Milton to me ties in on this conversation about the Patriots, and if the pendulum has swung too far on let's bring in high-character guys, let's bring in good guys over talented guys, right? And I think Milton is at the center of that. I think Will Campbell has come up in that discussion before where – do you like Will? I like a lot of what I hear from Will Campbell. I'm very entertained by Will
everything
Campbell.
Everything he says is great.
Me too. But is that why you drafted him, or did you draft him because he can play? I mean, hopefully it's a combination, but you do start to wonder, has the pendulum gone a little too far? And then I get Mike Reese's Sunday notes this weekend, and this just jumped out. It's his number one item about Kyle Williams, the receiver they drafted in the third round out of Wazoo. Reese says, it appeared wide receiver Kyle Williams had an important decision to make last December. He had one game remaining in his college career, but with Washington State in the midst of a coaching transition and more than 20 teammates immediately entering the transfer portal, the question was, would Williams play in the Holiday Bowl? To Williams, however, Reese writes, that wasn't a decision to make. He was always playing. Such a mentality appealed to the Patriots, who selected Williams in the third round of the NFL draft, number 69 overall.
Nice.
And they project him as a speedy, versatile complement to other players on the roster, blah, blah, blah. Just for the record, he had a very good Holiday Bowl. 10 receptions, 172 yards, and a touchdown in a loss to Syracuse, again in the Holiday Bowl. But, okay, is that a nice thing to say after the fact when you draft him and another reason to defend the guy, or was that an actual factor in why they drafted him? Reese goes on to make the point. In the NIL world, you got to know who loves football and who doesn't. This is used as an example of a guy who loves football.
Yeah, it did seem like they drafted a ton of team captains and a ton of guys with stories kind of like that. That was one of the takeaways from the draft weekend. And I guess if you want to use that as a tiebreaker, that's fine. But
that's a good
that
way to
shouldn't
say it.
Like over that shouldn't go overboard on some of the other stuff. Be like, well, this guy's a lot better. However, like this guy played in the Holiday Bowl. It's like, all right. Like who's more talented?
And look, I think football character matters, and I think loving football and wanting to, I think all that matters. But my question is, are the Patriots putting too much of a premium on that and overlooking other talented players?
Yeah, like there's definitely a fine line. Like it should be a part of the criteria that you look at for sure. But I remember going back to whatever the year the NBA draft was, that Anthony Edwards was the number one pick. There was a big story that came out that was like, he doesn't watch basketball in his free time. I don't think he loves basketball. Maybe he shouldn't be the first pick. And that there was like a lot of steam behind that. So, and that wasn't like a great draft or anything, but then when he went number one, people were like, well, you got to question whether he loves the game or not.
Who was in that? That was LaMelo? What draft was that?
That was a good question.
Edwards. I think I was a LaMelo guy in that draft, which.
Were you? I liked Edwards, but
I'd rather have Edwards in retrospect.
I don't think it was saying much, but I think I liked Edwards the most out of that draft, but he was the guy that went number one. It was the 2020 draft. James Wiseman, LaMelo, Patrick Williams, actually Halliburton's draft too. He went 12, but that was the year the Celtics drafted Aaron Nesmith, who we'll see.
Maybe in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Watching him right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Cole Anthony's draft. But anyway, there was a big question mark about that because he didn't check all those boxes. He wouldn't have been the guy probably playing in the Holiday Bowl against Syracuse, right, with his NFL future on the line. So it's not always a slam dunk case.
But, I mean, it's interesting. And again, maybe this is just after they drafted him, it's a justification for the pick.
Yeah.
And so that's fine. You're trying to justify your picks. I get that. But it is interesting to highlight that in the NIL world, in the transfer portal world, where guys are constantly transferring. The idea that Kyle Williams is going to stick it out somewhere, he did transfer earlier in his career from UNLV.
He himself did. Yeah.
So, like, you know. But he transferred upwards, and he went to a bigger school, and he went to the Pac-12.
Too, no, right? It's going to be hard to really keep tabs
but
on
I'm
that.
I'm saying, in that world, yeah, he was a part of that. I mean, he was right in the transfer portal with all of his teammates leaving earlier in his career. So all I would say is maybe that is an interesting tiebreaker. I would use it the same way you did, Keith. We have Jalen Noel and Kyle Williams ranked very similarly. Noel, the receiver out of Iowa State who went to the Texans. We have them ranked very similarly on our boards. This guy, and I don't know if Noel played in his college bowl game.
I don't know.
But let's just say he didn't. And that's your tiebreaker. This guy loves football. This guy proved he wanted to stick it out. We like his football character. Well, great. I think that's a good tiebreaker. Are you bumping guys up the board?
I got news for you.
Otherwise, yes.
Jalen Noel did play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Oh, boy.
And he had a monster game.
What'd he do?
How about 8 for 117 and a touchdown?
Ooh, well, Kyle Williams outperformed him there, Keith.
All right, well.
10, 172 and a touchdown.
He played Miami, though. He didn't play Syracuse.
Did Noel win?
Yeah, they won big.
Okay, well.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. They won by a point. So it was clutch.
Okay, Williams did not win.
Okay, well.
Got smoked by Syracuse, which I don't think is a tremendous look.
Yeah, point. Kyle McCord was on the other side.
Good point.
That's, yeah, slinging it.
It's an NFL quarterback.
That's right.
So fair point. You could jump in on this. The Patriots and their approach to building character and culture within the locker room. Have they gone too far? Joe Milton in the middle of that. Will Campbell in the middle of that. And as it turns out, Kyle Williams, just because he decided to play in his bowl game. Apparently something in the words of Mike Reese that the Patriots put some stock into. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We'll hear from you. And speaking of hearing a little something. You hear that, Keith?
I hear it.
You know what that means?
I do.
Time for the keys to the Celtics and Knicks game one tonight. You got Keith's keys next.